Thanks for staying. I'm actually going to use two abbreviations in this talk. So one is VHW and the other is CRHP, and I'll explain those in a minute. So village women in drought-prone rural India, motivated by a concern for their families, overcame gender and caste inequality to become successful health practitioners and community leaders. This paper, based on ethnographic anthropological fieldwork, this is my informed consent in Marathi, these village workers, without formal primary education, gain the knowledge, experience, and self-confidence to mobilize community improvement and affect social change by connecting their everyday experiences and local gendered context to underlying social, political, and economic processes. Village health workers are the linchpin of the Comprehensive Rural Health Project, CRHP, which I'm going to call that for the rest of the presentation. Begun in 1970, in Maharashtra, which is 250 miles east of Mumbai. It skipped a whole slide. The overwhelming gender inequality and social isolation faced by village women is part of the global health and developmental challenge that motivated Drs. Raj and Maybelle Arole to create CRHP. Based on a local participatory model and built on a human rights-based perspective, CRHP mission states that health is a universal human right. Eliminating injustices which deny all people access to this right underlies the very essence of our work and our approach for access to health and freedom from poverty, hunger, and violence. Mann emphasizes that the synergistic relationship between health and human rights necessitates attention to social determinants. According to Sen and Alston, gender inequality and the power relations that perpetuate it are the most influential social determinants of health. Gender inequality damages the health of millions of girls and women and is harmful to men's health. Consequently, addressing women's rights to improve gender equality ultimately benefits the overall community. So this paper suggests that the integration of local knowledge and experience into complex health and development projects creates the foundation to introduce a human rights perspective that challenges the status quo of gender and caste inequality. One of the first village health workers was named Lalambai Kadim. This is not her picture. But she represents the first generation of village health workers who has accomplished this transition from 12-year-old child bride to respected village health worker. As she states here in a 2006 interview, "My name is Lalambai. I am giving service since 1973. I never thought, who am I? I thought I was less than any animal because I am from a Harijan or Dalit community. Nobody respected me. I never thought this was bad. Now I am standing on my own. The village children are well nourished and immunized, and people call me doctor." Now, in its 40th year, CRHP is based on three basic principles of equity, integration, and empowerment. The model uses a social science perspective and demystifies biomedicine while promoting a participatory approach. It is not hard biomedical technology, but social action that improves health. In 1978, the World Health Organization Alma-Ata Conference defined primary health care and recognized it as key to achieving an equitable development and social justice. The CRHP Jamket model served as one of the templates for a comprehensive-based approach. The central idea of health for all by the year 2000 was ratified by 135 nations. Nevertheless, the ink was not dry on the declaration when an alternative approach, selective primary health care, was forced on international health with pressure from the World Bank, Rockefeller Foundation, and USAID. This was one of the published in Social Science and Medicine. Okay, Navarro points out that the negative consequences of neoliberalism, or a vertical approach, or the Washington Consensus, which ignores social determinants and promotes privatization. For example, in the 1980s, structural adjustment programs obliged governments to bolster economic growth by applying spending caps on health and education and other social policies. None of these market-driven policies and health programs from the 70s until today, and you can make your own judgment about the Millennium Goals, have addressed the underlying social, political, and economic factors that increase health disparities and inequalities, especially of race, caste, class, social orientation, gender, both within and between countries. However, on the 30th anniversary of Alma-Ata, Dr. Margaret Chang, current director of WHO, reaffirmed her commitment to primary health care because, as she put it, it was an idea that actually never happened. Doctors Maybell and Rajarole, both Indian physicians with MPHs from Johns Hopkins before it was Bloomberg School of Public Health, demonstrate through the success of the GEMCAT model that the Alma-Ata approach of health for all works. Local participation is the cornerstone of the CRHP GEMCAT model, which engages the entire community for its knowledge, cooperation, support, and ability to plan and maintain health. For instance, the Aroles started by establishing Farmers Club with village men, who then identified the first two CRHP initiatives for clean and potable water and better nutrition for children. With external funding, two wells were dug and a breakfast program for children established. However, in each project, the Aroles purposefully incorporated measures to redress what they identified as the source of local problems, gender and caste inequality. For example, all of the tube wells were placed exclusively in Dalit areas on the periphery of villages, usually avoided by higher castes. In addition, the idea for choosing local village women to be trained as health workers, one for each village, was developed in the farmers clubs. Consistent with the GEMCAT model, all caste, social, economic, and religious factions participated in the early selection process. Thus, the village-centered decision supports self-determination, the village has a stake in the success of the project, and the women selected for education have a mandate from her community. This approach is crucial in communities in which there is a long history of women who have no standing. Amartya Sen asserts that women who do not attend school or own property bear the burden of strenuous work and are exposed to domestic and physical violence. As Mohanty points out, our social history has created patterns of social relationships, values, and beliefs. To treat these factors as purely ideologies which can be transformed without a change in consciousness is to ignore the social roots of caste and class oppression. Consequently, the intersection of gender and caste provides a basis to analyze women's lived inequalities. Salabai, a Dalit, now in her 60s, pictured here, was thrown out of her husband's house at age 12 after having delivered a stillborn. Because her family had no means to support her, Salabai was forced to live alone, working as a day laborer, cleaning cow sheds. She was often starving and still cries when she talks about being raped while begging for food. Yet, Salabai does not see herself as a victim. Like other women health workers, her trauma enabled her to understand the purposefulness of agency and the goal of social transformation. Reflecting on her life as a VHW, she says, "My mother and her generation never had the opportunity, but I was able to live my life. The good we do will remain forever. You need to show people kindness and love. That is the only way to solve their problems. Even if they get angry at you, you still show them love. My village thought I couldn't do anything because of what I was, a Dalit and alone. So I worked hard." The Aroles characterized the basis for selecting and training village health workers as preferably a woman, representative of the community, accepted by the poor, roots and residency in the community, levels of literacy on par with the community, and motivation and commitment to work as a vocation and the desire to learn. A central aspect of this model is to integrate actively what is learned what is learned about social disparities. In Jamket villages, there are many different castes, Dalits, and a small percentage of Muslim households. However, before training at CRHP, women of different groups never socialized or even interacted with each other. Young women move to their husbands' villages after marriage, patrilocality, which can produce social isolation. As one woman points out, your mother-in-law and husband tell you, when you go to the well, you do not speak to others. If my husband ever saw me talking to another woman, that was enough of an excuse to beat me up. A husband values his animals more than his wife. In contrast, all women interviewed for this project state that the most important aspect of CRHP are the learning environment and relationships women develop with each other. They use the Marathi word maya, friendship, or prem, love. In the early 1970s, a primary focus was breaking down these caste barriers so that VHWs could care for all of the members of the village. Eating and sleeping together of different castes was a challenge, so a universal quilt was stitched together to symbolically integrate women from different castes and religion. In those early days, most of the women in the Jamket region were illiterate. Therefore, women and staff, using local aphorisms, stories, songs, devised a learning method. Here you see a device, flashcards, with the allegory that a child must cross seven rivers before the age of three. For the last 40 years, much of the learning has been accomplished through an intergenerational mentoring process that creates lifelong relationships among VHWs regardless of caste or religion. VHWs provide a range of health services. They keep infant growth charts, reduce fevers, prevent serious diarrheal disease with oral rehydration therapy. Thus, mothers became confident their children would survive. This trust for VHWs led to an acceptance of reproductive health recommendations like family planning. VHWs see learning as an ongoing process and frequently hold group meetings, this other photo, in the evening to teach and share with village women what they themselves have learned, especially about women's health. VHW are talented practitioners and health educators. Sureka, pictured here, made a diagnosis of placenta previa, called ahead to the hospital, and saved a woman's life. Different person. As you see on the organizational chart, VHWs are the center of village health. In large measure, VHWs are responsible for the sustainability of the Jamket model. The accomplishments of CRHP are extraordinary. In 1971, the infant mortality rate was extremely high, 176 per thousand. Today, the rate is less than 24 per thousand, lower than the Indian national average. The most dramatic change occurred in the first 5 years with the introduction of VHW's food and water development projects. CRHP has eliminated endemic disease and solved trenchant health problems. Today, at weekly continuing education meetings, women learn to identify and manage chronic diseases. Each in their own village, VHWs advocate for social change. Through their work, they started women's clubs and act as a central organization for health education. VHWs initiated Bishi, money-sharing groups, that helped women to start small local businesses, selling bangles, dried fish and brooms, or to purchase goats. These groups access government microcredit loans for more ambitious projects like dairies. VHWs have become prominent members of the community. Three VHWs have been elected officials on the panchayat, the village governing body. This woman is Babai. She is the sarpanch, the mayor of her village. She was elected for a five-year term. She said at first She was bold but worried because she was not literate. But she gave, at the end of her five-year term, she gave each family sapling trees from the government, and she said that God has given a gift to me. I know what to do. I use my brain in a good way, and I am proud of my knowledge. So to conclude, my anthropological research for more than 4 years has applied a gendered approach to explain how issues of inequality of both gender and caste fit into the broader meaning of power and power relationships that form the basis for women's transformation from housebound wives to health workers and community leaders. Over the past 40 years, the CRHP Education and Training Center, clinics, and hospitals have demonstrated the effectiveness of a community participatory project to reduce morbidity and mortality, producing decades of sustained health and effective development projects. As the demonstration project for the 1978 Alma-Ata UN Conference, CRHP daily demonstrate that health for all is possible. When CRHP provides training and focuses on women's inequality and caste injustice, is the relationships among the women who daily in their villages and weekly at the training center identify the inequality that harms health and well-being. It is this ongoing commitment of women for continuing learning that invigorates the relentless struggle and resistance to challenge gender and caste inequality and to support women's rights. Thank you.